That goes with it in Genesis 5:24, it said Enoch walked with God. Isn't that powerful? Enoch walked with God. It's also said of Noah. Noah walked with God. What wonderful statements. If there was something that could be something that God would put as a description of you and his relationship, wouldn't you want God to say, they walked with me? Amen? You know, Abraham's attributed as being a friend of God. Wouldn't that be a great statement? Yes.
Yeah, and I was just reading about something really terrible, you know, good, actually, that, you know, like Cain killed Abel. Everybody thinks, you know, Cain did all this bad. Enoch was, you know, Cain's son.
And he also fathered Methuselah.
Yeah.
Enoch was the father of Methuselah, but he walked with God. And you need to also realize he walked with God when it wasn't easy to walk with God. I don't know if you guys realize it's easy to walk with God today. In America especially, it is very easy to walk with God. It's not a difficult thing to be a believer. I'm not saying you don't deal with your flesh, because we all do, right? Amen, everyone. We all deal with our flesh, right? But to say I'm a Christian, to make the statement that I'm born again, to make the statement that I'm going to heaven, those are easy statements to make because the price was paid on Calvary in full. So that's simple to say that, you know, my sins have been forgiven. Are you guys with me? To make the statement that I have been given the righteousness of God which is in Christ. Those things are easy. Are you with me? Those are easy. But to make the statement of walking with God, that's a powerful statement. To say, I'm one that I walk with God. I want that, don't you? But do we walk with God? Enoch walked with God. Now, one person wrote, and I liked it, that in fact Hebrews 11 said that by faith Enoch was translated that he would not see death. And the idea was that they were so close in their walk. And they had been walking so long and so far together. At the end of the day, God spoke to Enoch and said, listen, you're closer to my home than I am to yours. Why don't you just come with me the rest of the way? And God took him that he would not see death. Very, very powerful statement. Let's look at what it means to walk with God. Walking with God pleases him. How many would agree with me? Amen. How many would say that it should be your desire that you would want to live a life that is well-pleasing to God? Amen. And walking with God absolutely pleases him. Enoch gives us a picture or a lesson that living by faith positions a believer in God's favor. Are you guys catching that? See, now again, we're moving beyond just being saved. There are many people that are going to make heaven that know nothing about overcoming. There are many people that are going to make heaven that know nothing about enjoying the joy unspeakable and full of glory. There are many people that are going to make heaven that are miserable in this walk. And the reason being is they've never positioned themselves to walk in God's favor. They are saved by grace through faith, that not of themselves, it's the gift of God. They've been blood washed and they'll make heaven. But they're not going to make it happily. They'll never enjoy the benefits of where God wants you and I to walk with him. They'll never get that. Unfortunately, and it's not because they can't, because listen, we've said this, my wife said it a few weeks ago, I've said it multiple times, where you are with God is exactly where you want to be. Where you are in your relationship with the Lord is nobody, you can't shift it to anybody. It's not my mama's fault, not my daddy's fault, it's not my pastor's fault. Where you are is where you are. All right. Does God set responsibilities on believers? How many would agree that he sets responsibilities on believers? My answer was, of course. He absolutely sets responsibilities. Walking with God and following God's word is not legalistic or religious. Amen. Amen. Walking and following God's plan for your life, looking at the Word of God as your guidepost and letting the Lord lead and direct you, that is not a legalistic statement. It's not a religious statement. Do you know there is a concept that God sets no responsibilities on believers? Let me ask every parent here, do you love your children?
Yes.
Right? Did you or do you set responsibilities on them?
Yes.
Are we not the children of God?
Yes.
Amen? Well, he can't expect anything out of me. Come on, church. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not a religious thing to say that God has a right. In fact, the Bible says, does the clay speak to the potter? Or does the potter mold the clay? Who's responsible to who? Is God required to serve every beckoning need of us? Or were we created to be servants of the Most High God? Amen. Talk about walking with him. Walking with the Lord. Naaman was told to go dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River in order for him to receive his cleansing. Jesus told the servants to fill 7 barrels all the way to the brim with water, completely to the top. 7 barrels, and make sure that all of them were filled all the way to the top. Everybody say obedience. I still believe that's a good word. Amen? How many want your children to obey with a good attitude? Don't you want them to accept direction with a positive attitude? Now, I know none of you guys would ever do this, but there are church people. Don't you dare tell me I have to do something. You know, and you know, our Bible has 66 books in it. And if you ever decide that, well, I just don't think I like that, I'll just take that out. I don't think I like that, I'll take that out. What you would find is 2 covers. And at some point, you would have removed everything out within those pages. But those pages contain life. And they contain instruction for us. Amen? That help us. And if we would follow those instructions, you know, we'll have a much happier life. Life will go a lot smoother for us if we do that. So staying on that same thought, look, only 6 dips in Jordan would have left Naaman without a miracle. If you ever wonder sometimes if you haven't just stopped shy of a miracle? Have you ever wondered if I would have just pressed, like the woman who had an issue of blood, if she, the Bible said, pressed until she touched God. If you've ever had to go a little harder, a little further, and continued your walk when maybe everyone else wasn't walking any longer, and yet you said, nope, I've made up my mind, I'm continuing. 7 barrels not full. In other words, if those barrels were only half full, would have prevented the first recorded miracle by Christ. How important is obedience to you? How important is for you to walk with God, not just be saved? I'm glad that I'm saved. How many are glad to be saved? But don't you think God wants more? Many of us that have children. Having children is just one part, right? And then you got to raise them. Right? Give them direction and instruction and guidance and sometimes deal with the seed of the problem.
Yeah.
Help them a lot, right? The Bible said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He spanks them. We love our children, so at times you have to come down hard on them, right? I still believe obedience is a right word. I believe it's something that God intends. I love this. In Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. I inserted the word daily. Amen. The just shall daily live by faith. In other words, this is not a Sunday, Wednesday experience. I know God on Sunday, and I don't know who he is Monday through Saturday. It's a daily, the just shall live by faith. Faith is an action word. Amen. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's not just a person, place, or thing. It requires something. If you say, I have faith, it will have something that will be evidenced by that statement. Right? Sometimes one person told me one time that they operate in all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I looked up in amazement. Really? I love that. I'm ready for somebody to come in a wheelchair. Get them out of the wheelchair. Come on, the gifts of healing ought to be evident, right? If you operate in, if that's what you say, I have faith, well then let's see it. Amen. The just shall live by faith. In other words, how you say you are ought to be demonstrated in what you do. We're talking about walking with God, amen. Does God set a standard to your talk? Huh? Do you think that God has an expectation of how believers ought to communicate?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So,
someone asked me at work if cussing is really a sin. It was actually a customer of hers that asked her because she told him I was a Christian. So he says, well, ask him if cussing is a sin. And I said, that's the only way Peter was able to separate himself of being a follower of Christ, because a follower of Christ wouldn't talk like that. So that's how he separated himself from Christ, was by cursing.
That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, good job.
That's really good. And so, does God have a standard established how we ought to talk as believers? The Bible says we ought to speak the same thing.
Right.
Amen. How many would agree we ought to be encouragers?
Amen.
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 How many know it's real easy to be a discourager?
Amen.
Just say, oh me.
Amen.
Come on. Listen, there ought to be a standard to our conversation, right?
Right.
Listen, I'm talking to me as well as I'm talking to you, right? But this is the truth. Does God have a standard? What about your attitude? Amen. I love Sister Cindy. I gotta pick on her.
Please do.
Look at her, look at me, as she's on her phone. Are you taking notes? Yes, I am. I love that. She'll tell me, she'll say, in fact, we went to breakfast at Blueberry on a Monday. And while we were there, Bo was having to get up and work. And she finally said, she says, you know, I just don't like this. I'm getting a toot. I'm getting a toot right now. I'm having a toot. Because I don't like the fact that he's getting up. In other words, she's saying, I'm having a bad day. I'm having an attitude right now. Do any of you ever justify your bad attitudes?
Yeah.
Right? You got a name on that attitude, right? You know who caused that attitude, right? Jody just poked Terrell, said, yeah, there's my name right there for that attitude, right? Well, what about our attitudes? I'm talking about walking with God. I'm talking about being all that God has called us to be. I'm not talking about you right now being walking in an area of ministry necessarily, or having a title necessarily, or having, you know, being a tremendous missionary or a tremendous preacher. I'm just talking about being a Christian. I'm in all the way. Everybody say commitment.
Amen.
A committed believer all the way, right? Right? Yes. Well, if our attitude stinks, and you're in the front of people, and your attitude stinks, and now all of a sudden, somebody, just as you mentioned, Peter, who had been with Christ, and somebody says, "Aren't you one of them?" And your attitude has stunk. And it's been evidenced by everybody that saw how bad your attitude was. And you got to go, yeah, I'm one of them. How about our attitude, right? Does it count? Is God looking at who we are? Come on, we have the Spirit of God abiding within this temple.
Yes.
You have God on the inside, Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
Amen. The Almighty God within us. God in us. Think about it, guys. Walking with God. Enoch did not have God in him. And yet he walked with God. We have God in us. It is. It should be. But boy, can those attitudes slip in. Right? Let somebody say something to me on a wrong day. This is the wrong day for you to say that to me. You should have said that to me yesterday. I could have handled it yesterday. Yes. Absolutely. Make sure you got enough, right, to cover those sins.
Yeah, I used to think that was awesome to be back then. Why didn't you just see it? You know, why was it so hard for them?
Right.
Now I think that it actually makes sense. You know,
I hate to say this, but how many would want to gather up the sacrifice it would take just for this crowd? Huh? What do you think, guys? We have 8 acres here. Right? All right. Right? How about how you treat people? How about how you treat people? I'm not talking about just those at PBFC on Wednesday night. Why are you pointing to Courtney? That's not right, is it? I'm not talking about just those that we fellowship with at church. Because we know how to look at, we know how to fit the part when we're here, right?
Right.
We got the smile down, don't we? Throw a little amen and God bless you, right? How do you treat people that don't know you're part of PBFC? How do you treat people when people don't treat you good? I've heard that. That bothers me. That bothers me. He said that waitresses and waiters don't like to wait on people that are church people. Because they say that we give waitresses and waiters a harder time than the world does. That's what I've had people say. I hope that's not true. I don't think I do that. But people, I've heard that said. They don't want the church people coming in. And they never leave a tip. Do you think there should be a standard of how you treat people?
Yes.
By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have genuine love one for another.
Amen.
Am I talking to anybody tonight? Come on, walking with God, right?
Yes.
Come on, let's just deal with the truth. The just get right out and look at it. How do we live this walk? How do we treat people on a daily basis, on a consistent basis? How do we treat people?
You should treat them like Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when the bracelets were going around WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And people are like, man, I don't want to wear that. I don't want to be that. But we are supposed to be Jesus to the world, right? Have I got anyone's attention yet? How about your stewardship?
Ouch.
How about your stewardship? Steward, the word steward is an owner manager. It means it's not yours. You're just managing it for somebody else. And that doesn't just talk finance. So let's first deal with time. Everybody say time. Do you give yourself to your jobs, and to your families, and to your hobbies, and to your interest? And then if you just can muster up enough left over, you give what you have left over to God. Man, I'm exhausted. I was going to pray this morning, but I just, you know, I wanted that extra hour of sleep. So I just wasn't about to get out of bed. So you go at like everything. You give your job your best. And by the way, you should. When you're on your job, how many would agree with me that that's Christ-like, to give your job your very best while you're on the job? Is everybody with me? You ought to work the whole 8 hours. Amen. If you're scheduled 8 hours, work the 8 hours, right? You ought to make sure you're not taking things that are not yours. You shouldn't be using computer time that doesn't belong to you if it's not given within your job description to be able to use. If you have the freedom, that's one thing. But if you don't have the freedom, are you guys with me? Yes.
Remember, you are who you are. You got to act how you are because God knows how you really are.
Absolutely. But listen, everybody say change.
Change.
We can still change, can't we? We can make decisions to be who we ought to be. Amen? I know we've been saved, I know we've been filled. So now that that God has now come on the inside, then that needs to manifest itself fully on the outside. Right? So do we come to the end of our days and we've not spent any time with God? We've done no prayer. We haven't hit the Bible at all. We haven't looked at the Word of God at all. We've done no reading, no devotion of any kind at all. I know this will shock you because all of you read all the time the Word of God, but there are some people, none of you, but there are some that do not read the Word of God at all. The only time they hear scripture is when they come to God's house. Well, it's why we are. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's we make decisions that if it's for the necessity of money, we'll do whatever it takes to get what we need. And if we've got time, we'll throw church in the mix. And if we can fit it in, we'll throw a 5-minute devotion in the mix. We'll, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to take. And that becomes our prayer life. Is God getting your leftovers when it comes to your time? Or are you giving God an equal amount? Everybody say priorities. Are you giving God the firstling, the first fruit? Are you giving God a time? Are you giving God what He deserves? Are you hearing me? In your devotion. In your commitment. Then when we go beyond that list, we've got to get to the fact of finance, don't we? Do we write all of our bills out first? Pay everything that we have? We stack the bills and we pay them all back and we get them all and we look at what's left over and we... Well, God, God, this is my leftovers. I couldn't give you the steak, God, but tomorrow you can have my steak that I didn't eat. You say, this is hard. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm not talking about, I'm not saying that God's not going to allow you to make heaven. He gave you the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about that you're somehow going to miss heaven. I'm not talking about that. Everybody say secure. I believe that you and I are secure who are born again. How many are secure tonight? I believe that I am right with God because He gave me His righteousness, not by what I do, but by what He did. So heaven's not a problem, but I'm not there yet. I'm talking about walking with God when I get to the heavenlies. I'm talking about walking with God now. I'm talking about being what God's called every one of us to be now. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Now, there's a reason why on our Sunday morning, we don't do it on Wednesday, because biblically it says Sunday morning. It talks about on the first day of the week that you bring your offering to the altar area to the front. And that's why we do that. We follow the biblical principle of that. Could you imagine? Think about it for a moment. When those who are receiving the offerings, they're standing. Could you imagine if Jesus Christ was standing right behind them? And you begin to bring your leftovers. Kind of hide it in your hand. Bury it. Are you guys with me tonight? Is it all right for me to talk to you a little bit? Come on, anybody want to grow a little bit? Amen. You want to be challenged a little bit by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God? And you bring what leftovers you have, and you take and you throw it in the offering, hoping that Jesus doesn't see, but we know according to Scripture He does, right? You know, it's like, and this has happened, if you've ever been in a restaurant and if you've served tables and somebody leave you a penny, it's an insult, is it not? If you're a server, you know what you want to do? You want to take the penny and hand it to them. Say, you must need that penny more than I do. Yes.
We were talking about this at youth. We've entered into a covenant of marriage, and like Christ, we've entered into a covenant of Christ. And if I was to tell her, I'm sorry, I can't have lunch with you today, I had lunch with another woman, and I held that woman's hand, I have not broken the covenant biblically with my wife, but I'm still, in her eyes, messing around with something I should be messing around with.
Oh, trust me, you broke covenant. just saying.
Well, see, legally, I'm right. Still married. Right. Legally, I'm still married. But I'm not making her happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And there might be death involved.
So you guys are understanding. Could you imagine taking the leftover? Now, see, here's what you need to understand, because people get really confused here. None of you. Listen, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. How many realize that God does not need your money? How many get that? Come on, if God has all the gold and silver, He certainly don't need what you've got, right? What does God need? Your heart. The Bible says, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, as long as I'm able to have my nice toys, my nice this and my nice that, nothing wrong with having those things, you understand, right? Nothing wrong with that. But if after you have paid, that's a little squeaky there, wasn't it? Happens when my voice gets like this, going through the change. Puberty, one more time.
Well,
after you've written out all of your bills for your toys, because you know you got to have those toys. We justify that, right? And you have all those things, and then at the end of it, then you go, oh God, I would have given you first. I wanted to be a cheerful giver. I intended to be a good steward. But all I've got is what's left over. You know the problem with leftovers? They smell after a while. I can tell you this. If my wife only served me leftovers, we'd be talking. First of all, I'd want to know who got the first stuff. Are you guys with me? Who got the first stuff before I only got the leftovers? Yes. Are you guys with me? Come on now, let's just think for a moment. Is this all right, guys? Are you guys hearing me tonight? Just one moment, I'll catch you in a second. Oh, I can't wait. My wife is taking the throne right here. Here you go. She did cook. See, I like that. I did cook. I did. She did. Huh? Camping. Yes. Camping. She did. She cooked. Yeah. And she does cook. She does. Tyler comes over. She cooks. Yes. No. Okay. Now listen, guys. Stay with me now. Let's stay with the thought for a moment. Come on. We don't want to rush this, do we?
No.
Don't you want to hear from the Lord?
Amen.
So here we go. We now want to offer to God because we were too busy satisfying ourselves. So now we want to give God what's left. Rather than to honor God first. Rather than to trust Him first. We wait till we have whatever's left over. And then we don't give them all of our leftovers. We only give them what we think we can afford out of the leftovers. Right? I want you guys to think about something real quick. If your best friend invited you over for dinner, said, come on over, we're going to have dinner together. And you sat down and what they served you was leftovers. How would you feel? I must have. Isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit knows things that I don't know? You know what I'm saying, right? I mean, come on. How would you feel if you were invited over for supper and what you got was leftovers? Right? All right. Can I allow the Holy Spirit to work on you now? Just let that just sink into your eyes. Because I'm telling you guys, this is really, really important. It's really good stuff. And God wants us to receive it. Walking with God is and must become a way of life.
Amen.
How many would agree?
Amen.
Walking with God is and must become a way of life. Of life. Walking with God overcomes death. It overcomes death. Jesus said, I've come that you might have what?
Life.
And life in abundance. God wants you to have life. So here's some questions. We'll bring it to a close in just a little bit. Is God on your mind? Does God occupy your thought life? Do you think about them? You know, I've had people say, you know what, I know you're a preacher, but can we just not talk about God? And you know, that's like really hard. I mean, we can have a conversation. We can talk about finance for a little bit, and I'll throw a little politics in there. I kind of like that. That's good. We'll talk about politics. That'll be all right. But it won't go long before we've got to talk about God. Because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Come on, whatever's in your core. Anybody got a solid core? Whatever's in your core is going to surface. Whatever you are centered about in your life is going to show what is in your life. Whatever you are made of, ladies and gentlemen, will determine by the things that you pursue and the things that you say. Everybody has a passion and they'll go after it. Is your passion Jesus Christ? Amen. Is that your priority? That should be what you think about and who you think about at night, and it's what and who you think about in the morning. It should occupy some of that space up there. You should be thinking about your relationship with God. Somebody made a statement the other day. We were at a service and somebody said, and I thought this was very good. They actually made the statement. They said, I'll tell you how you determine if you're about ready to quit. Quitting's on your mind. If quitting is on your mind, guess what follows? Quitting. If you start entertaining that thought, it will be followed by the action of that. Yeah, once you let that come out, it'll become to determine what you do. It'll become what you are and who you are, who you become. So you've got to let your mind be centered on some good stuff. Come on, church, garbage in, garbage out. I've had people actually said this. They've suggested a movie to me. They've told me, you can watch this movie. I'm telling you, there's not a cuss word in it. I'm not looking at you, Terry. I'm not. Not a cuss word in it. I don't know why, Terry, but I almost felt you smile when I was bringing it up. Were you? I'm not saying that, but were you thinking what? I don't know. No, not yet. Oh, you were thinking of Terry. I mean, I've had him say there's not a bad word in the movie. Somebody said that to Daniel the other day. Daniel went on the internet because I'd already told him, I said, I'm not going to that movie. I know there's bad language. I'm not going to watch it. I don't want to hear it. Daniel looked it up and there was 100 and some F words in the movie. And he was told by somebody who says they're a believer, listen to me. Now say, all of a sudden you're going to say, see, you say the believers can't go. I didn't say that. I don't think you ought to. But I didn't say that. But they said there wasn't even a bad word in the whole movie. And someone says, you know, the problem is you don't have a good filter. That's why I've had people say that to me. You don't have a good filter. I'm glad that I don't have a good filter. So what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Do you think about God? Do you think about your relationship with the Lord? Yeah. My wife and I spend much of our time in conversation concerning where we are in Christ, concerning who we are in Christ, and where we believe God is taking us. Don't we? We spend a vast majority of our conversation is talking about Scripture, and talking about destiny, and talking about direction. You know, if you don't talk much to your spouses, try talking about God. My work. Give it a chance. All right. Do you make room for God? We already talked about leftovers, but Does he have a place in your life? You know, the Bible talks about daily they assemble themselves with believers. And the truth of the matter is we do good to come 2 days a week. And I know life is busy, isn't it? How many are busy? Life is busy. I know that. I know that life is busy. I get that. We've all got places to go and people to see, and we're all trying to do whatever we do, and I understand that. And you're looking at me, and as the comment gets said, I only work 2 days a week. I've got 5 days to do nothing. But are you making room for God in your life? Does he have an opportunity to speak to you? Do you ever stop long enough to let him talk to you? I'm guilty. Years ago, my prayer time existed of me doing all the talking and no listening. And I've learned now that when I pray, I don't have to say a lot. I can just listen to God.
Amen.
Because God really wants to talk to us. If you'll get into his word and allow his Holy Spirit to just begin to minister truth to you and revelations to you, I might ask you, how long has it been since you received a revelation from the Lord? Not just one that came by word of a minister, but one that came off the Holy Spirit's to you personally. When the Word of God jumped off the page to you, you were in the Word of God and you were reading something, and it was like instantly there was revelation. You received an enlightenment. That's what the Bible calls it. When the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, all of a sudden the switch is on, right? And you got something that, and you're going... In fact, I'm going to tell you, for some of you, it may become a first for you, but when that happens and you go, I just got this. Nobody told me, and I got this. And you don't have to be told, because now you know you've heard from God. But I'm going to tell you, church, that comes from setting aside. Everybody say the word sanctify. And we know that the work of sanctification, again, is a work of the Holy Spirit. That God's purpose is to set us apart, to set us aside so that he might use us. Now, my wife has china that only gets used from time to time. Otherwise, it is set apart and set aside until it's needed. You know, the problem with where we are in life, we don't ever want to take time for God to set us aside.
Amen.
To set us apart. The idea that we understand with sanctification was you're set apart from what is contaminating you so that he can clean you and use you. Amen. Amen. Right? So God wants to take time with you to set you apart so he might use you. And you're cluttering your life up, not wanting to take any time to let God spend that time with you, making room. All right. Do you include God in your decisions? I've heard people look for jobs. They never think about, what does God want me to have? Where does God want me to work? Where does God want me to live? There are people that make decisions about moving from state to state and never think about, will there be a church I'll find? Well, I got a good job. What about a church? But I got a good job. What about a church? How many think here tonight church is important?
Very important.
Yes. Church is important, right? Never think about what we're doing here. Now, do you guys realize how important what I'm talking to you about tonight is?
Yes.
Amen. It's life-changing information, amen, if you make application to what I'm talking about. Right? And if you make decisions that you don't even think about God. I've told the story, and some of you haven't heard it, but we years ago, we had my wife and I had a car that was dying on us. It was a bad car. We'd had it for a while, and it was just seeing its better day, and we were on our way to see my dad. He was living in Stockton at the time, and we had driven through Roseville, and there was Cadell Chevrolet. And it was on just off of Douglas and Sunrise, and there was this beautiful car on a turnstile. And it looked good from every angle. I was about to ask God if I could have that car, because God might have said no. And I wanted it. And I bought it. We went right in there and we signed the dotted line. I think we borrowed money from my father-in-law to make the down payment. Only time we ever borrowed from him. I was grateful for paying it back. Very grateful. But we bought that car. It was the worst automobile I've ever owned. It looked good. My wife had long frosted hair. Now she has frosted hair, but it's natural. At the time, she paid good money to have frosted hair. And so she had long frosted hair, and she looked so attractive in this. This car was nice looking, and she looked good, and we couldn't take it hardly anywhere. The car was a bomb. I'll tell you what, I was sure praying to get out of it. I didn't pray to make the decision to buy it, but let me assure you, when it came time to get rid of it, I was asking God, please help us, God, please. Do you include God in your decisions? Do you include God in your decisions? And I'm not talking about if you're scheduled to go to work tomorrow, don't get up in the morning and say, God, is it your will for me to go to work? I'm talking about that. But I am talking about the decisions you make. Listen, is anybody with me tonight? We're talking about walking with God. When you're walking with God, shouldn't you begin to include Him in decisions that pertain to life? I think that, don't you think marriage ought to be something you ought to pray about?
Amen.
I'm talking about before you do it.
Amen.
Right? Before you choose a spouse, don't you want God's will on that? Yeah. Wouldn't it make sense to have God's man or God's woman be that one you marry? Right? You ought to pray about some things. There's some things that we ought to pray about. How you spend your finance, you ought to get some direction from God. Fortunately, I've learned a couple of things, praise the Lord. I don't need everything I want. When I was younger, man, I thought if I wanted it, I ought to be able to buy it. If I can afford it. And afford it wasn't whether I can afford the big amount, if I could afford the monthly amount. Good enough for me. But I've learned a few things. But today I don't make those decisions without talking to the Lord first. I want God's word on it. How many believe that God's concerned about those things? Wouldn't it do you well? How many have made some decisions? Don't you wish you had asked God first? Let me see the hands. About only about 10 or 11 of you. Violet, 11 and 2. Right? Some of you are right now probably facing some decisions right now. You're facing some decisions right now. Maybe you're looking at a job change. We're not looking at a spouse change. All right, amen. We're not praying for a spousal change. But you're looking for a job change. Maybe you're looking at maybe changing vehicles. Talk to God about those things. Talk to the Lord about that. You know, I'll tell you, God will even lead you in investments. God will help you. God will guide you. There's things He's interested in helping you do. And He's mindful of that. Amen. Listen, I wish I would have asked God on many occasions that I just wanted what I wanted. See, I get to be the one transparent. You guys can sit there and look perfect and holy and righteous and godly and mature and never made a bad decision in your entire life. But I've made a few bloopers. And every time I made those, it was because I wanted something that I didn't talk to the Lord about. Do you include them? I'm talking about walking with God. So when I get the idea of somebody that walks with God, what does that mean? What does it look like? I think it means the things that we've talked about tonight. Don't you agree? That if in fact Jesus Christ is Lord of all, then shouldn't we consult him over the any? Because the any is within the all, right? Anything that falls in life comes less than the all. So then we ought to then put all. Sum it up with one last scripture and we're going to call it done. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Most of you can quote it. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added. Everybody say with me, let's put God first. Amen. Stand with me tonight.